The issue are as you laid them out. They're very clear, I think, that in effect we have, I think, two major problems that the union movement faces, maybe three. One is obviously the demand that on the interpretation of fiduciary responsibility as being you must get the highest return on the investment possible, and that might rule out making some less financially rewarding but more progressive and desirable investments. Not clear how one deals with that, because you could say, well, we could legislate opportunities for people to be given the chance to choose progressive investment. The question is, would workers for the most part do that? If they know they're imperiling their eventual pension by making investments that today may be better for the long-term economy and their well-being. And so that's an issue that it's going to be very difficult to resolve. The other one, I guess, is the tension that exists between the union's wishes to have its benefits for its workers, to be able to demonstrate that they've gained benefits for their workers, at the same time wanting to have a social unionism that endeavors to improve the lot of all workers. And you correctly observe that we're in a tense situation if the right can say to people, gee, those high-powered, gold-plated public sector pensions are costing you, the taxpayer, money that you would rather have in your pocket, and why should they have great pensions when you don't? The argument that we should all have great pensions doesn't sound like it's working all that well. And so one of the ways in which to move in that direction, seems to me, is to enhance the public pension system, to move, in a sense, to make pensions more a part of the social wage, to say, in effect, you know, your deferred wages are not being well managed by your employers, and your employers don't want to continue to provide them, but the state can provide a pension plan that will allow that to happen. That puts us into some difficulty with your final point, which is, of course, that even the state-funded pension plan is investing in ways that may not be good for workers. And at the end of the day, I guess I'm not sure how you resolve that. I think going back to a system in which the reserve fund is primarily used to lend money to provincial governments is to say, in effect, we're continuing to make this plan effectively. It's not pay-as-you-go exactly, but it is going to be dependent more on the taxing capacity of the provinces than it is on the growth of the economy otherwise. And the taxes at the provincial level, maybe the incidence of those taxes becomes a concern then. Are they being levied primarily on incomes of workers? Are they being levied on property? Are they being levied on corporate tax? Are they being levied on sales tax? The way in which those taxes are collected then means that we have some control through democratic process, but limited control over the ways in which provinces repay the loans. And yes, they may result in their building provincial infrastructure, publicly owned infrastructure, may result in them engaging in P3 partnerships again, which is another problem. It's not clear to me that we're that much better off in that circumstance than we are if we had the public funds invested as they are currently in a wider range of investments. However, I have to acknowledge, you're absolutely right, that many of those investments may not be ones we want to applaud. The problem is we're caught in the mode of production. You know, we're in a capitalist system. Unless you can see a reasonable prospect of reversing that, then I think we have to work with the system we're in. We are, however, in a more financialized economy than we were. And that, I think, is an important point you make. And there, I think, there may be some hope of finding a way of moving us away from what are essentially riskier investments in derivatives, in a financial system that is less tied to the actual production of goods and services, if you leave out financial services, real services, than it was 50 years ago. And so if we can increasingly press for investments not to be in the highly financialized world so much as in old stocks, old bonds of productive companies that are actually producing goods and services, then we might have a means of making the system a little better. I don't want to take up a lot of time with this. As I said, I'm primarily in agreement with most of what you had to say, but I think we have this tension between the unions organizing benefits for their members on the one hand and organizing to promote better public pensions that will apply to a wider range of workers and perhaps even some who are not workers. And that tension is enhanced by the difficulty of organizing in a precarious labor market. And so we've got people increasingly in precarious employment moving from one part-time job to another. A public pension that covered them all would be a better alternative in some ways than hoping that at some point they can get enough support to organize in their small workplace just before they leave it. And that may be a thing where the labor movement has to think about its normal strategy and go back to a little more social unionism. I think there was another point. Oh, yeah, the other point I guess I wanted to make is that, yes, we are in a tough world for pensions at the moment, partly because of the financial crisis, having made a lot of defined benefit pension plans in having difficulty with their surpluses have turned into deficits. And employers tend to see pensions now increasingly not as deferred wages, not as a benefit to the worker, but as a cost of doing business. They always thought that way, but they didn't say it as much, and they didn't get as much public support for it as they're getting now. So one of the difficulties we face, and one of the things that I think the labor movement is concentrating on, needs to concentrate on, is making the case that these are wages, and the promise made was not a promise that we'd invest your funds as best we could and, you know, you'd get whatever the return was. That's the defined contribution model. But rather, these are a promise that you did this work for us, this is part of your wage, and it will come to you at a later stage. And we'll invest it as best we can, but we still have that liability. The problem from their perspective and from our perspective, I guess, is that we're all dependent on the growth and maintenance of a healthy economy to provide those returns. As long as there is some dependence on the economic growth to increase the funds so that pensions can be paid, regardless of what the form those pensions take, they're always going to be somewhat vulnerable, precarious. I won't speak to anything about joint governance. Walter Whiteley here has been on the board of trustees for the York Pension Plan. Can probably talk a little bit about that. But I think the as a recipient of a broader public sector public pension, as well as Canada Pension Plan, you know, I'm grateful for the work of my union at least, and I think. When we look at the public pension plan now, we need to get back to the 50% level at least. One of the things that you'll hear being argued often about pensions and their suitability, their how satisfactory are pensions in providing sufficient retirement income for people, there's a kind of crass argument that says, gee, people who had really low wages and were poor most of their lives aren't any worse off when they retire because they got poor pensions replacing their poor wages. Well, gee, you know, whoopee. But I think, you know, that's getting to be an argument that is regrettably having some weight. The other end of the scale are the people who are pretty well off, and they're the ones who can invest in registered retirement savings plans or the Saskatchewan pension plan or the pooled pension plans, which are not really developing as far as I can see. And they're people who are going to be okay in retirement, regardless of what the Canada Pension Plan is like. I mean, I have a broader public sector, pretty good employer pension plan, which means I don't really depend all that much on the Canada Pension Plan. If you're in the middle of that, though, you really do depend on the pension plan. And so even raising the level of pensionable earnings would be a bit of an improvement in that plan, and raising the contributions thereby from employers and workers would be an improvement in that plan. Doesn't get away from the investment issues to which you referred, however. So let me leave it at that. I rambled all over the map. This is a very complex issue with a lot of threads, and so, you know, I can't talk about all of them. So,
thank you.